So we're going to look at some interesting verses. We've been talking about money. It was interesting. I read a something that says there are 2,300 verses in the Bible, over 2,300 verses in the Bible that mention money. It's not as though there's a paucity of verses talking about money in the Bible. Now, I'm sure a lot of those verses are, he paid such and such for such and such, or verses about, for instance, things that were given from the spoils to the temple, or the offerings for the temple, many of them were weighed in money measures, etc. But that's quite a few verses. Okay, so let's look at Mark chapter 4. Today we're going to talk about the dangers of riches. Is there a danger in riches? It's kind of interesting. A number of years ago, when the WACs had their academic competition at Camp Timberlake, this is quite a few years ago, they have some pretty nice facilities there, and I think Wayne Van Gelderen was there, and we were on Camp Joy board together, and I said, boy, wouldn't this be nice if Camp Joy had this kind of facilities. And he says, well, typically by the time some institution gets this wealthy, they've already gone in the wrong direction. And he's just talking about the issue of riches and wealth and how dangerous they are spiritually, not only to people, but also to institutions. So let's look at some verses here. Mark chapter 4 and verse 19. This is talking about the parable of the sower. And it's talking about that which is choking the word of God. Verse 19. In the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. Notice it says here, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. And so we find the effect of riches and the cares of the world, we find that the word of God is choked out, and the seed of God is not able to produce its fruit in that particular life. But notice it says that the deceitfulness of riches. Now, I always ask this question when we find that word. If you knew you were being deceived, would you be deceived?
No.
You wouldn't be deceived. So what does it say? It has riches have the ability to spiritually deceive a person, and they are unable to comprehend what is taking place, right? And so we find this commodity, wealth, riches, has right within it the ability to deceive people. Of course, if you go to Ephesians chapter 3, notice what it says about the Laodicean church. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Okay. Then it says, and you know not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So what is taking place? Deceitfulness. Now they gave the offering, and I just reminded we didn't start in prayer. Okay? So we'll take a break here. And Gary, lead us in prayer, will you, please?
Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to gather together in your house this morning. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move in this time of Sunday school and in the service to follow, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would have your hand upon our pastor, fill him with power and boldness, Lord, to bring forth your word. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so the church at Laodicea was deceived. How were they deceived? How were they deceived? It says they were rich, right? Increased with goods, but how were they deceived? Can't hear you. I don't have my hearing aid in this morning.
That they have a need of nothing.
Okay. So, the material blessings caused them to be blind concerning what?
Their
spiritual state. Right? Their material blessings caused them to be blind concerning their spiritual state. Okay, so the real issue here, we're going to constantly talk about this. What is the important thing? Well, it's obvious. The spiritual state is the most important thing, right? And in this case, we find that material riches or goods or increase caused people to be blind concerning their spiritual state. Okay? And I think that's a reality for most people. It certainly can be a reality for institutions, can't it? I mean, here in this case, the church had enough money, and what did they assume?
They were rich.
They assumed they were rich what? Spiritually. I mean, isn't that kind of like 21st century? If they were rich physically, they automatically assumed they were rich spiritually. Now, that would be fit into the whole idea of the deceitfulness of riches, wouldn't it? Okay? So they were deceived. All right, let's look at another verse in the Bible, Matthew chapter 6. Now put it in the first question in the realm of a teenager. Typically, a teenager, if they have money, is that going to be a danger for them spiritually?
Yes.
Think so? How is it going to be a danger? Okay, now they have a we'll find that there's going to be lots of snares, aren't there? Going to be lots of snares. Yes.
And I think if you have a lot of money, you don't pray for the things you need, and you can't see the word
okay? That humility, that dependence on God that is really helps us be close to the Lord is really kind of a vital part of life, isn't it? Okay? And just kind of magnify that for the typical young person. Wally.
Well, you can see that the Bible that gives an example about the rich man. You know, he's got his barns filled to capacity, and he says here, now I got everything, I can relax and enjoy life. And God says, you fool, today your soul will be asked of you. Taken off of God and put on the things of the world. And it's dependent, our dependence not on God, but the material things.
Okay. Now, let's not get this wrong. Do poor people have problems with money? I mean, typically, a poor person is deceived by the fact that they think, if I had money, I would be happy. Right? If they had money, and there's no better illustration of that than Africa. Here's a people that need to be dependent upon God. But instead of being dependent upon God, many times take spiritual shortcuts because they, again, put an undue emphasis on money. And spiritually, they are not what they ought to be. Let's go to Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. All right? The key issue here about money is the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's the real issue, is the lordship of Jesus Christ. The lordship of Jesus Christ erodes in a person's life when there is another master. And often that master is money. All right? So, the Bible says, keep yourselves from idols. What would be a good definition of an idol? Anything that keeps you away from God. What do you say, Mrs. Kruckelberg?
I was going to say anything that gets you
sin. All right. I think an idol is, that's a good definition, both of them are. An idol is something that we love so much that we will disobey God concerning it. We will disobey God in some area of our life because we love whatever that is more than Jesus Christ. And here it's talking about the issue is the lordship of Christ. So when money is starting to take the wrong place in a person's life, what is going to suffer? The lordship of Jesus Christ. All right, and so instead of a person submitting to the lordship of Christ, and we can think of a multitude of areas, whether it be the Lord's house, whether it be ethics, whether it be their heart, but the lordship of Jesus Christ, and the Bible says you can't. You know, the two don't mix, do they? You know, you can only have one Lord. And anything that is trying to, we let in our life, that is in competition with the Lord Jesus Christ, what will it do? It says, we will love the one and despise the other. So when Christ starts getting in the way, okay, then people start despising him, right? Well, he's taking my time. Oh, here's another, you know, here's another, maybe it's, here's another call for money or whatever from the church. And there's a subtle despising of the Lordship of Christ because something has taken place, has taken the place of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And a very real thing. Yes, Wally.
Money is power. And it's man's nature, his fallen nature, that he wants to be in control of him and his surroundings.
Okay.
So I guess Rockefeller, they asked him here, of course he's one of the wealthiest, and he says, you have enough money. When do you think you have enough money? He said, just a little bit more. So the heart is never satisfied.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you really hit it there. Money is power, okay? And typically, money allows people to do what they want to do, okay? And money will allow people to do what they want to do. And that can be a real temptation, can't it? Real snare. But many times it's not money that does it because most people never get enough money to do whatever they want. What is it? The pursuit of money. Okay? All right, number three. Let's go to Proverbs 11:28. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. All right, now this really is a great contrast in the Bible. Okay? This is a great contrast. I think it's a really important focus. Okay? What is the focus? The focus is trusting in riches versus what? Righteousness. Okay? Righteousness. And what is the picture here? Okay? The picture is there's something that's far more important than money. Now, yeah, money does make the world go around, and I'm not telling you just throw your money away and don't work and don't try to gain money or any of that. But what is the real focus here? The focus is that the real pursuit of life is righteousness. That's what's valuable. Righteousness is what's valuable. Now, righteousness will deliver us in the day of death. But riches will not deliver us in the day of death, will they? Okay? A person who is trusting in riches is going to fail in life. Whereas a person who is pursuing righteousness will never fail. Okay? And I see a picture here is that there has to be, again, something that is more powerful in a person's life. And the thing that has to be powerful in their life has to be their pursuit of righteousness. Okay? That is the balancing point, okay, that keeps everything else in line. All right? Now, I guess you'd apply this. How would you apply that? Well, if the pursuit of riches causes a person to lose their convictions or to lower their convictions, what is the stronger pursuit? Money, right? If the pursuit of money causes a person to lower their convictions, then the pursuit of money is stronger in that person's life than the pursuit of righteousness. Okay? And, of course, this is a very important principle for young people. What are you pursuing? Okay? And, you know, life can be, it says riches are deceitful. You know, life is full of snares and troubles. And one way to measure things is how it affects a person's pursuit after righteousness. Okay? Yes, Pastor Hatch.
Mm-hmm. Cast in your lot with me, and we'll have riches, and we'll divide the spoil. And the simple one is enticed to do so. And the passage says, you know, those that are greedy of gain, that desire takes the very life out of those people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very expensive to be rich.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yes. Oh, well.
The Psalms says it so well here. You know, if he even saw the riches of the people here and that did not follow God here, and it was kind of envious. And we see that in a lot of times we envy that too here. But then he says, until I went.
Mm-hmm.
Then he opened the eyes and saw the total loss if you go after the things of the world, the great gain.
Yeah, that's a great psalm, isn't it? Until I went into the house of the Lord, until he got into the presence of God, his vision was clouded until he got into the presence of the Lord. And then he saw the riches of the world, and then he saw the truth that they're gone in a moment. Okay? Okay, now, Pastor Hatchett, you stole one of our points here, but that's a really good verse there. Okay? But notice the blanks are the wrong focus on money will cause one to fall or fail spiritually. But those who pursue righteousness will flourish. Okay? Proverbs 11:4. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. Here's another parallel truth. At judgment day, righteousness is what counts. Righteousness ought to be our number one pursuit. Okay? Now, really that is a ageless principle. Okay? That should be the pursuit of teenagers. That ought to be the pursuit of young adults. That ought to be the pursuit of middle age. That ought to be the pursuit of all of us, is righteousness. Okay? And that has to be the priority in our life. And, of course, the energy that we put towards righteousness ought to be more than the energy that we put towards even gaining wealth. Number five, let's turn to 1 Timothy 6. Beginning with verse 6, it says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich will fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Notice the Bible says here that they that will be rich will fall into temptation and a snare. Now, probably we should be honest with the fact that almost every American, or the great vast majority of all Americans, are richer than most kings in ancient history. We have more comforts. Life is easier, than the vast majority of all people who lived in the past. And I think Thomas has talked to the telemarketers or whatever. And what do you tell them?
Well, I don't know. Somebody called me, and I was supposed to say that I was really poor or whatever. And I said, "I'm an American, I'm rich," but they didn't like that.
Oh, yeah. Somebody called him and apparently figured out his financial situation and was talking to him, asking him to admit that he was poor. Okay. And he said, "No, I'm. What do you say? I'm an American, and Americans are rich, and which
ask
is.
The North
pardon me.
Ask the North Koreans if
Ask the North Koreans if we're rich. Yeah, yeah. That's why everybody in the world wants to come to America. Okay. So notice the what it says, the love of money causes people to fall into traps, and many have erred from the faith. Erred from the faith. What does that mean? What is the faith? It's a combination of the belief system of the Bible and the lifestyle that is supposed to accompany that belief system. That is the faith. Okay? And so it says that love of money has caused many to err from the faith. So now it tells us that this is a very spiritual reality, isn't it? Right? And that money will have an effect on what you believe. And again, emphasizes the fact, what you believe is not merely an intellectual exercise. But what a person believes is directly connected to their life and to their living. It's a spiritual reality. You know, I think of traps. I had, I do have a nephew. And he was raised to serve the Lord. And in fact, he graduated from Bible college. Today he isn't serving the Lord. He's a long ways from serving the Lord. But as I look back, I remember the time there was a company called, PSA. And they were a company that sold water filters. Okay?
NSA.
Okay? Thank you. NSA. They sold water filters. Okay? And he got involved in NSA. And I remember his dad telling me that his goal was to get, establish enough in this company. You know, it's one of those companies where you sell products and then you enroll somebody else. And then you earn so much money off of what they sell. And then they enroll other people. And then they earn money off of the people that they sell what they sell. But wherever you are in the tier, you're earning money off of everyone underneath you. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? So the whole idea is to keep enrolling more and more people. And everybody else down there, they keep enrolling more people because you make so much money off of everybody that gets enrolled in everything they sell. You know what I'm saying? And so he was really going into this. And I remember his dad telling me his goal is to be able to go to the mission field self-supported. That's a very noble goal, isn't it? But it really isn't God's plan. It really isn't God's plan. You know, God's plan is to be sent out by the church and to be under the authority of a church. And a typical part of that authority is financial authority. But, you know, that was a very, very noble desire. But I'm looking back, I'm thinking, you know, that was just one of the little steps downward. It was very deceitful. There was a trap there. I don't know what the traps were. Okay? But the Bible says there's, and what is the result? The result is, the Bible says it causes many to err from the faith. And so we're talking about a departure in their belief system and a departure in their lifestyle issue. And what's it related to? Money. The pursuit of money. Very, very dangerous thing. Okay, Proverbs 15:27.
If you're involved in a pyramid scheme like that too, you're going to be doing a lot of pursuing and not much riches.
Say that again, Thomas.
If you're involved in a pyramid scheme like that too, you're going to be doing a lot of pursuing and not much riches.
Yeah, that's true. In a pyramid scheme, you're going to do a lot of pursuing and not much riches. That is true. Okay. Proverbs 15:27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. Troubleth his own house. Now, there's a lot of aspects of this. I remember one time I was coming back to on one of the mission trips, and I sat next to this fella, and he was a gambler, and he told me that he had lost his house, he had lost two different houses through gambling, and I guess he had another house, but. I was just wondering, what do you think he put his wife through? You ever notice, you don't see many pawn shops, do you? But you know, when we go up to Black River Falls, there's a pawn shop in Black River Falls. Why do you think there's a pawn shop in Black River Falls? Because there's a casino there. And they will sell anything at a fraction of its value to get more money as quick as possible to go gambling, right? And what is the whole reason of gambling? To get more, right? Or whatever. It's almost like fishing, isn't it? It's almost like I'll do anything to get that big fish. Not quite, but... Huh? Or a big buck? Yeah. There is, in fact, I don't want to pick on fishermen, but we were at Black River Falls, and one of my boys was in the shop up there, and there's a bumper sticker or a plaque, you know. It said, how did it go? My wife is here. What did it say? I am a fisherman. Therefore, I lie. That certainly isn't true, is it? Okay. So notice the troubles. It says it brings to a house. And of course, it can be troubles in all sorts of ways, but of course the biggest trouble is what? What's the biggest trouble? Spiritual trouble. That's the biggest trouble. Is what is going to happen in that home spiritually. Okay? Now, it's kind of the same issue. Okay? Is... let's go back to a definition. How would you define covetousness? How would you define greedy of gain? How would you define that? You know, that's pretty difficult to define that. You know. How would you define that subject in a practical way?
Lack of contentment with what God has already blessed
us. Lack of contentment. All right. That's kind of hard to define too, isn't it? Buying things on credit. That's kind of being greedy of debt. Yes.
And when you do that, it typically forces you to make consistent, irrational decisions, you know, in your life, because it's such an obsession that it takes over logical thinking.
All right, so I think we could definitely define greedy of gain by a number of things. One is, when a person violates righteousness to get gain, that would be covetousness, wouldn't it? What about if a person knows that they ought to tithe and they don't tithe? Why don't they tithe? Isn't it typical? Why doesn't a person tithe? A person doesn't tithe because they think, I'm going to get ahead more if I don't tithe. But isn't that how the person thinks? Well, I can't afford to give 10%. And What? Look at what I could get or what I could buy or what I can't have if I tithe. Right? So, again, we find there is this desire for something that is inordinate, and therefore we will do such and such. Now, obviously, it's deceitful, isn't it? Because a person doesn't get ahead by robbing God. Never get ahead by robbing God. A person always is going to go backwards. But, you know, how does it work? You know, here's a person, they say, you know what? If I had all the tithes that I gave, just think of the car I could buy. That's bordering on wrong kind of thinking, isn't it? Right? Because we're thinking of what we could have gained if we didn't tithe, but the fact is, not only will we not gain as a Christian, but look at what we will lose spiritually. Trouble with his own house. It's really, you know, and so the whole issue is, the real issue is spiritual issue, okay? What are we pursuing? Righteousness. Okay? We cannot allow the lordship of Jesus Christ to suffer. Wally?
You see that right in heaven here when Lucifer said, I'll be like the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the greed that he wanted to be like God, he worshiped.
Mm-hmm.
The sad part about it is the greed here, we've even seen it in our locality where there was some person that was in a touring service here and greed overtook here and the fall came.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so let's look at some concluding thoughts here. A wrong pursuit of money will, number one, contradicts God's commands to pursue after righteousness. Number two, a wrong pursuit of money causes spiritual fervor to decrease. We can measure that. And of course, that takes honesty, doesn't it? Number three, it affects the whole family. It affects the whole family. Four, it results in, I don't know if this is the right word here, in the failure of the lordship of Jesus Christ. The lordship of Jesus Christ. And he loses the ability to be the Lord of the life. Pardon me?
Seven.
Okay. Oh yeah, there's that verse that we lost that one. Okay. Covetous takes away the life from an individual. This is the verse that Pastor Hatchett mentioned in Proverbs 1. And you know, when you think of that word life, I like to think of it as the real life. It takes away the soul. And the most important part of our life is our soul. What does it do to our soul? You know, that is not in the formula of the world, is it? You know, what does it do to the soul? World, they don't think like man is a spiritual being. And all the world's thinking has to do with the physical aspect of life. They have eliminated from all their philosophy and thinking the soul of man. And I was talking to a guy this week, and an unsaved fella, and he was telling me about his daughter and the bad friends his daughter has, and he's telling his daughter not to do the things that his her friends are doing, and how that she would feel some physical pain if she did those things. And now I was thinking in my, and I didn't get a chance to say it, I was thinking, you know, that's minor. Just think of doing what doing those things will do to her soul, her real person. And again, this is a part of the issue here is, what does it do to our soul? Yes, David. Yeah.
But you leave God in and worship an idol of any type.
Yeah.
What is shown here is exactly what will happen with those as well.
Exactly. And exactly, it could be a multitude of different things.
Exactly.
You know, but they all fit the same pattern. It affects the soul. It affects the pursuit of righteousness. It affects their view of the faith. It affects the lordship of Jesus Christ. And, you know, it could be race cars, you know. It could be anything. But the effect has the same, because it grabs a hold of a person's life. And the first thing that starts eroding is the lordship of Jesus Christ. And he loses his ability to be the Lord and to be the boss and for us to obey him in every area of our life. Okay, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you today for the Word of God. And Lord, these are warnings that certainly every one of us need to heed. Lord, they're not merely warnings for people who have opportunity to make a lot of money. They're not just simply warnings for that situation, Lord. It's warnings for life itself, and even warnings for those who are so poor that they wish they had more. And I pray that, Lord, that you will use your word, and may your Holy Spirit take these truths and implant them in our souls for your glory. Pray that you'd help young people to take heed to the magnitude of these warnings about the effect of money on their life and their future. We pray you bless the service to follow in Jesus' name. Amen.